Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Honor Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, August 22nd. We're glad you're tuned in and listening today. We're glad to be able to bring you these broadcasts. Well, today's a special day in that it is the beginning of our annual missions conference. It's the biggest meeting we have of the year, and we look forward to it and prepare for it. And really get excited about it. And so it's starting up this evening at 7 o'clock, so just a little over an hour and a half away, and hope that you'll come in and be with us. Love to have you with us at 7 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow morning again at 10 o'clock, then tomorrow night at 7, Friday morning at 10, Friday night at 7, and then Saturday at 3 p.m. we'll have one service on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we'll have regular service time with no p.m. service on Sunday. So we've got missionaries coming in. We've got Brother Chris Matthews, missionary to Southeast Asia, focusing on Vietnam. And so he'll be here this week, and he's here already, him and his family. Glad they're here. My dad surprised us by coming in and being here tonight, missionary to Kansas. And so he'll be here. Brother Rue, missionary to Idaho, is going to be with us tonight as well. I know of Brother Rick Grisham, that is with Fundamental Baptist Books, is going to be with us tonight as well. And we got others coming in throughout the week, and we're looking forward to all of that, trusting that God might bless and help. And hope you'll help us pray concerning that. Also, keep Mrs. Hall in your prayers if you will. I haven't heard in the last few moments. I need to contact them. But the last word I got, she was not feeling well. Her heart was racing and having some problems. And so I hope that you'll keep her in your prayers, that the Lord might help and meet the needs there and strengthen there. Her medication is very serious and is causing her some concern about the medication that she's on. So that's something to keep in prayer as well. So let's pray together. Ask God to bless and meet with us in our meeting this week, and then help us meet our goal of our faith promise, maybe exceed that goal, and it'd be a real blessing. So help us pray towards that end, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you, dear God, for your grace in our life, for salvation in our soul. Thank you, dear God, for the privilege and opportunity to be here behind the radio mic, making these broadcasts and sending them out. Father, I pray that the good word, the good seed, would fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our good God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us, that we'd be able to accomplish your will, and Lord, that some sinner might come under old time conviction, might repent of their sin, believe the gospel, and be saved. Father, I pray you'd strengthen the saints. Lord, I do pray you'd touch Mrs. Hall and her heart and the problems there. Lord, would you intervene? I pray, Lord, you'd touch Brother Tim McHatton, missionary with Helps Ministries and working up in a church in New Hampshire, fell earlier this week, broke his pelvis. Lord, I pray that you'd help him there and meet the needs there. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help him as he heals. And then the other missionary that he called us about today with the needing the money for a building or to purchase property. Lord, I pray you'd help concerning that. And Lord, meet those needs. Then all the missionaries coming in, as we said, and looking forward to it. And then preachers, evangelists, and pastors coming in and preaching for us this week. I pray you'll meet with us, help us to have a great time. We have a camp meeting type missions conference. And so, Father, I pray it'd be true camp meeting, old time camp meeting, meeting with the Lord. And I pray, Father, you'd bless it. Again, bless the singing and the preaching on the program today. Use it according to thy will. Lord, I pray establish your church, strengthen the saints, and bring sinners to Christ, we pray, in Jesus' lovely and precious name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us, and thank God for the privilege to pray. We're going to get ready to move into the message. Let me remind you that we're preaching out of the book of Malachi, and we're dealing the message this week. Started yesterday, we'll go through Friday, and dealing with the perspective of how great and big our God is, and then we're narrowing down as he chose first a planet, and then he chose a nation, then he chose a city, and then he chose a hill. And we'll be dealing with that this week on the broadcast, and bring it up to the finale, he chose a people. And so we're grateful for that, and we'll show you that in the scriptures here from the book of Malachi. But before we get there, I've got the Shepherd family singing a good song here today. This is one of their newer songs that they released last year, and I hope it is a blessing to you. They're singing and playing, and singing the song entitled, I Just Stopped By. on my way home.
Malachi chapter 2, verse number 17. The Bible says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Jump down to verse number 17 of chapter 3. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm dealing with this 17th verse again. I want to remind you that we're looking at the salvation of the nation of Israel. It's what we looked at out of this verse. He said, I will spare them. Amen. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, just by way of introduction, this is just, I guess, sort of clarifying some of what I said. When you're studying the Bible, there's three groups of people primarily to remember. And Paul references these three in the book of, I don't remember if it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, in one of his Corinthian epistles. He mentions the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. And there's those three groups that God deals with. And when you're looking in the scriptures, when God's talking about, usually when he's talking about somebody that's been born again, we're called the sons of God. Amen. We are now sons of God. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are sons of God. Amen. But besides that, Israel, and dealing with their salvation, Israel's usually seen in Scripture as the servant of the Lord. Amen. And he talks about Jacob, my servant, or Israel, my servant. And so Israel is generally seen as the servant of God. In this verse, verse 17, he said he's going to spare them as his own son that serveth him. Amen. And so the idea that I've got there, and I believe it's right, is that the sons are going to be raptured out. The children of God, those that are saved by the grace of God, will be raptured out before the tribulation. But the servant, Israel, the nation, the servant of God will go through that, and God's going to save them as if they were sons, all right? Not meaning that they don't have to be born again. They do, and they come in, as I said earlier, just like we do. They got to believe the words of Jesus and turn and come through Jesus in order to be saved. But he's going to bring them in just like the sons, even though they've been servants and they did not get saved before the rapture. So he's dealing with Israel in that. I'm talking again about the coming of the Lord in his dealing in justice with the saints. I remind you one more time, and I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. I want to remind you again that the nation of Israel was complaining about why that it seemed like that the evil was prospering just as good or better than those that did good. Israel came out of Babylon in captivity, and in the siege, they had been bankrupted. In the captivity, they had been taken away from everything they had. But in Babylon, Babylon's a wicked nation and yet a prosperous nation. Israel comes back out of that captivity, and instead of running into the prosperity again, they're in a land that's dilapidated. They're in a land that the houses are falling in. The walls, even of Jerusalem, have been decayed. And you remember how Nehemiah got burdened over those walls and came and built that back. And Malachi's sermon is sometime either in the ministry of Nehemiah or shortly after. I believe after the ministry of Nehemiah. And so the walls have been rebuilt, but the average home, the average city, the average dwelling in Jerusalem or in that area there of Israel was dilapidated. And so Israel's question, why are the wicked prospering and the godly seem to be decaying and living in poverty? And so they're asking that question, God, are you going to separate them? And where is the God of judgment? Just simply meaning, when's God going to judge, and when's God going to divide between the righteous and the unrighteous? And God says in the text, I'm going to send my messenger, and I am going to make that division in the day to come. Now, here's the thing that Israel did not understand. When you're reading Malachi, and you can see it, I believe you can see it very plainly, Even when Jesus came on this earth, Israel wanted salvation. They wanted a national salvation, not a soul salvation. They wanted a physical salvation, not a spiritual salvation. They didn't recognize the need of their soul to be rescued from hell and from sin. Amen. They thought that He'd just deliver them from the Roman Empire. But I'm telling you, they was under bondage to somebody much more heinous than the Romans, and that was to Satan himself. Amen. And sinners need to be relieved from their bondage. Amen. Their bondage to sin, their bondage to self, and their bondage to Satan. And the only deliverer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that we recognize that now because we're in the New Testament side. It's been preached to us. But Israel did not understand that. All they saw was a physical salvation. Well, we're looking forward to, now that we have been saved spiritually, we are looking forward to the day when we're saved physically. Amen. When Jesus comes and raptures us out of this world. Amen. When this fleshly life that we know is done away with, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We're looking forward to that day. That's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we have to look forward to. And that's the way I'm going to use the text now, looking at these verses. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute, and if I say use your imagination, I'm not talking about a fantasy thought. I'm talking about a thought of reality. But it'll expand our mind to get to thinking about our God. Just imagine, if you can, and how great, when I say great, how majestic is our God. Our God is so majestic. Our God is so big, and yet He would stoop so low to make some choices about me and you. Amen. And so I got to thinking about that. Our God made everything that exists. He has the right to lay claim to it all. It all belongs to Him. And yet He said, I'm going to make some choices. Amen. I got to thinking about the vastness of space. And you know what they know about space? The majority of that is theory. But they say that there are somewhere around 50 galaxies in our, what they call our local group. 50 galaxies. It says on the order of 100,000 galaxies in our local supercluster, they call it. All right? There's an estimated number of about 170 billion galaxies in the observable universe. Can you imagine that? Does not mean with the naked eye, but with these great telescopes and things, they say there must be at least 170 billion. Well, according to the internet, it says the Milky Way galaxy, which is ours, only 100,000 light years in diameter. And ours is one of the smaller ones, they say. And then there's a galaxy called Hercules A, which is 1.5 million light years across. Now that's just in their mind. But here's the point I'm making about all that. According to all that, we live in a vast emptiness of space. According to universetoday.com, the planets which make up our solar system, our sun being one of the stars of many, they say, and the planets that circle our sun is what makes up what's called the solar system. They say to measure from the sun to Pluto is about 3.7 billion miles from the sun to Pluto. That's just this one little solar system, little planet. My point in saying this, that's the vastness of the universe, and God just flung it out there. Matter of fact, when He made it all, He made the heavens and the earth, and just a few little words He said, and the stars also. Like that was nothing. Just flung them out there. And they're out there. Amen. And they're still going like He set them out to be. But here's the thing. In the vastness of space, God said, I want one planet that I'm going to call my own. And He chose the earth. Amen. In Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Amen. Now, I don't know why God chose the earth. I've heard people, again, theorize about it and say why they thought. But God chose the earth. God chose to put life on the earth. And when Satan said, I'm going to rise up above God, and Satan said, I'm going to exalt myself above God, God kicked him out of heaven. I believe that's why he came to the earth, is because this was God's planet above all the others. Amen. He decided he was going to defile the planet that God made, because that's been the devil's decision throughout his time of falling. His job is to be to defile, desecrate anything God makes beautiful. Amen. But God chose the planet. And then to get to thinking about the vastness of our planet. Our planet certainly not the largest in our solar system. Amen. Our solar system's vast in itself, but our planet's a large thing. It measures, according to space.com, in circumference around the equator, 24,907 miles around. 24,902 miles around at the equator. Across the poles, it's a little less than that, because our planet is a little smaller from top to bottom than it is on the sides. It's like some of us gets bigger this way than we do. We quit growing this way. But I'm talking about how vast our planet is, 24,902 miles. And in spite of how large this planet is, God said, I want one nation. I'm going to pick one nation that's going to be mine. And that nation was Israel. Amen. Exodus chapter number 19, verses 5 and 6. He said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people. By the way, that's verse 17 of Malachi chapter 3 is referring to that. A peculiar treasure when he makes up his jewels. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God chose a planet out of all of the galaxies in the universe. God chose a nation out of the planet. You know where I'm going with that? Out of that nation, God chose, God brought Israel into the promised land, into Canaan land. So the nation's not just a nation of people, but it is the land. By the way, those Arabs do not hold claim to that land. Amen. They may lay claim to that land, but it is not their land. That land actually belongs to God, and God gave it to the nation of Israel. Amen. But in spite of all that, God chose a city out of that peculiar nation. 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse 32. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. God chose a city, and that is the city of Jerusalem. Amen. In my research, I found, according to the website, that, and this is a quote, in David's day, Jerusalem occupied a space of about 12 acres. That don't sound like a big city, does it? About 12 acres, and the estimated population was about 2,000 people. During Solomon's day, the city increased to 125 acres, and the estimated population was about 25,000 people. During Jesus' day, the city had grown to cover over 425 acres, and the estimated population in that day was about 60,000 people. So God chose a city, not a large city. I mean, nothing in comparison to the major cities of the world. Isn't it amazing that all the world gets upset about one little speck on the map? Why is it that the Arabs want Jerusalem so bad? The same reason the devil wants the earth. Because it belongs to God. Amen. I believe that. The reason why the UN hates Jerusalem. By the way, why is it that every other nation, they have their capital and we set up our embassies in their capital, but not in Jerusalem? Our capital's in Tel Aviv. I mean, our embassy, their capital is Jerusalem. Our embassy's in Tel Aviv. Why is that? Because Jerusalem belongs to God. Why is it they wanting to divide it up and say the Palestinians can have half and the Jews can have half again? Because that city belongs to God. There's argument and there's fighting over that city because God laid claim to the city. Again, get in your mind, our vastness of God, the vastness of space, and He chose of it all, put His finger down and said, I want that planet, and He chose on that planet, I want that nation, and He chose in that nation and said, I want that city above all others. But I want to narrow it down a little more. He not only chose all those things, but God kept narrowing down His claims on the earth until He said, there's one hill that's going to be mine. And it's going to be called the Mount of the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 22. I'll show you that. Wonderful text of Scripture. Amen. Wonderful story of Abraham and Isaac And you probably already know, but in case you don't, Genesis 22 is where God lays claim to Isaac and says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. I want you to give him to me. But he didn't just want a sacrifice. He said, it's got to be in a special place. Then I'll show you. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Jump down to verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Amen. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. They came to that place. I believe that place was the mountain that God had chosen. Now turn in the New Testament to Luke chapter number 23. I want to show you something. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33. And when they were come to the place. That sounds like what Abraham said, wasn't it? He come to that place. He came to the place. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Who's that? That's the only begotten son. God said to Abraham, I want your son, your only begotten son. But Isaac wasn't crucified. Isaac wasn't sacrificed that day. But God's son was. Amen. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So God chose a planet. God chose a nation. God chose a city. God chose a hill. Why did he go to all that trouble? Because God wanted a people.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.